Stimulus Package Part 2?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. The White House advisors were all over the airwaves this weekend, talking everything from deficit to unemployment. Among the highlights, advisor Valerie Jarrett told Meet the Press the Obama administration would not insist on a public option for health care and that a second stimulus package was a possibility if it was needed to help this country's unemployment situation.
We are beginning to see signs of hope. But the unemployment rate is still much too high, and the president will not be satisfied, as he has said time and time again, until every single American who wants to work has a job.
More than half of the original $787 billion stimulus package hasn't been spent yet. And while we're cleaning up our current mess, lawmakers are scrambling to prevent another economic meltdown. This week, Congress will consider new rules that would require hedge fund managers to register with the Securities and Exchange Commission. John Dimsdale has more.
Wealthy people and institutions used to taking more risk invest in some 9,000 hedge funds holding about $2 trillion in assets.
There is no regulation of them.
Former SEC Chairman David Reuter favors requiring hedge funds to register with the agency.
The registration gives the commission the power to inspect them, to find out what they're doing, and if necessary, to bring enforcement actions.
Hedge funds have boosted spending on lobbying from $1 million in 2006 to almost $8 million last year. The sponsor of the registration idea, Pennsylvania Democrat Paul Kanjorski, says the industry helped shape the legislation.
The hedge fund people came to us and they assisted us, actually, in how we would handle it. It's not like it's an adversarial relationship.
The industry is lobbying for disclosure exemptions for funds under $100 million to cut the cost of paperwork. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Hedge fund manager and billionaire Raj Rajaratnam was arrested Friday. It's part of what looks to be the biggest insider trading case ever in the hedge fund industry. He was released on $100 million bail, and he'll be speaking to his employees this morning in New York at the Galleon Group. Oil prices hit a high for the year this morning, $79 a barrel. Investors are feeling optimistic about the global economy. London's FTSE is up 0.5%. Germany's DAX is up 1.25%. Hong Kong's Hang Seng Index also up 1.25%. Last week, the Dow Jones Industrial Average hit 10,000, a high for the year. And maybe it was all that good news from the markets, but we went to the movies this weekend. Ticket sales were up more than 40% from a year ago, topping the box office, Where the Wild Things Are. It seems they're at the bank. The film took in more than $32 million.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by The Economist, covering news and ideas from around the world and the connections between them. The Economist, on newsstands, in bookstores, and at economist.com. And by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing and online surveys. ConstantContact.com.
The New York Stock Exchange announced plans this morning to open up a service center in Northern Ireland, creating up to 400 jobs there. Here to talk about that with us is Michael Smith, head of economics at Ulster University. Michael, what kind of jobs will this create?
These are high-end jobs. There's very, very good internet connections here. So it's, the jobs really are software systems development of the highest order. Because if you think about it, the bulk of trades in the world's financial markets are going to be taking place through this.
How significant is this for Northern Ireland?
Well, it's hugely significant. I mean, the salary levels in these jobs, which are very high, the big problem here in Northern Ireland is that the salary levels in the jobs were too low for us to close the so-called productivity gap with the rest of the UK and with Europe. These jobs will make quite a dent in that gap. They'll close it quite significantly. And if I had a wish, it would be if you had three or four more projects like this.
I've read that there is already kind of a rush of investment this morning into Northern Ireland. Is that something that you think might continue because of this?
Well, certainly the capacity to take it here. We have geared ourselves up here to try and attract English-speaking, high-end, knowledge-based jobs. And this is the latest in a series, but probably the most significant one. I mean, Citigroup have invested here. They have a couple of large investments, and they're on the record as saying they're very, very pleased with the quality and the dedication of the workforce here. There is a kind of work ethic here that you don't find perhaps as strong in other parts of the UK.
Well, Hillary Clinton was in Northern Ireland last week talking about what a strong workforce it was and what a promising place for companies to come.
Yes, and I think for 30 of the last 40 years, we have just simply been off limits to a lot of investors. But I think Northern Ireland is now gradually taking its place alongside Dublin as a good, safe, stable, reliable location. As I say, good, well-educated workforce. Speak a particularly pure form of the English language, if I may say so. And we're pro-business.
Michael Smith is the head of economics at the University of Ulster. Michael, thank you.
Thank you.
You could call it the latest chapter in the electronics book business, but Amazon launches its Kindle reader outside of the U.S. today. Kindle Wireless International goes on sale in many countries, including the U.K. Marketplace's Stephen Beard has more from London.
Amazon's Kindle dominates the market for e-readers in the U.S., but it's still a relatively small market. The company's sold around 1.75 million of the handheld units. As the Kindle goes global, it faces growing competition. Around the world, there are no fewer than 17 e-readers in development or already on sale. Some have bigger screens, one even has colour. But the biggest question is this: are standalone e-readers becoming obsolete? Stephen Hartley is with Ovum Research. He says devices like the iTouch are getting more and more sophisticated.
As people look to economise or just not to carry around quite so many devices, the chances of things like video players, music players, e-readers converging becomes far greater.
But he concedes there's no reason why the Kindle should not itself morph into an all-purpose device. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek-Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.